In Wesley's time, much attention was paid to the central Indian states. They were called Ofoki and Factus and all manner of imposing names. And here, the curse of Anglo-Indian life fell heavily. When Wesley lifted up his voice and spoke about such and such a succession to such and such a throne, the Foreign Office were silent, and heads of departments repeated the last two or three words of Wesley's sentences and tacked "yes, yes" onto them, and knew that they were assisting the Empire to grapple with serious political contingencies. In most big undertakings, one or two men do the work, while the rest sit near and talk till the ripe decorations begin to fall. Wesley was the working member of the Foreign Office firm, and to keep him up to his duties, when he showed signs of flagging, he was made much of by his superiors and told what a fine fellow he was. He did not require coaxing, because he was of tough build, but what he received confirmed him in the belief that there was no one quite so absolutely and imperatively necessary to the stability of India as Wesley of the Foreign Office. There might be other good men, but the known, honoured and trusted man among men was Wesley of the Foreign Office. We had a viceroy in those days who knew exactly when to gentle a fractious big man and to hearten up a collar-galled little one, and so keep all his team level.